Hi, I'm Scott Finn, Executive Director at West Virginia Public Broadcasting, and we're speaking today with Rupa Goganeni, and she is a freelance journalist from Charleston, West Virginia, originally, and now covering all sorts of things in Africa, based in Kenya. Hey, Rupa, how you doing?
Good, Scott. Thanks for having me.
So, Rupa, you cover a lot of civil war going on in Africa, places like Somalia. What got you interested in coming back and talking about the legacy of the Civil War in America and specifically in New Orleans?
So for the past year or so, I've been watching the news from Kenya, news of the Ferguson riots in Baltimore and Eric Garner, and then the massacre in Charleston, and then the battle over Confederate symbols started. And it felt like the Civil War wasn't over. And so my colleague, Mike Oniego, and I had this idea of going back to the States for the summer and being these foreign correspondents, but in the South. So one of the cities where the Confederate symbols were contested was in New Orleans. The mayor of New Orleans, who's white, his name is Mitch Landrieu. Right after the massacre in Charleston, he came out and said that he wanted four monuments taken down. And these monuments are to prominent Confederate generals and politicians.
And so I began to envision myself as an African-American man driving down the street with my little girl behind me, approaching Lee Circle, and her saying, "Hey, Daddy, that's a really nice statue. What is that? It's so pretty." I said, "Well, honey, that's a General Lee."
So there's this huge fight now going on in New Orleans about those monuments. Not too dissimilar to the fights going on here in West Virginia. There was a fight recently over the name of Stonewall Jackson Middle School here in Charleston. So who did you talk to in New Orleans about this? Whose opinions did you solicit?
Shortly after we arrived, we showed up at this rally at Lee Circle. It was organized by the Sons of Confederate Veterans, the Louisiana Division. So we met up with the sort of chief Confederate of Louisiana, Thomas Taylor. And he feels victimized. He feels as though people assume that he is racist, and in fact, he's not racist.
The lady from the NAACP, all she wants to talk about is her feelings. Well, that's great. In her opening statement, she told me that if she saw a white man in a pickup truck with a Confederate flag on his truck, then I know who he is. No, you don't. Like I told her, I'm sitting here with a tie loaded with battle flags. You don't know one thing about me. You don't know anything about the way I think. But you've labeled that guy, and it's kind of like a racial profiling thing. You know who that man is, don't you? And that makes you a bigot. I don't think she's ever been called a bigot before, but she has now, so there you go.
He was a nice guy. I mean, Mike and I, we genuinely liked him. We disagreed about a lot of things, but I didn't come away from our meeting thinking badly of him. I just wanted to understand why he thought the way he did.
And part of that goes back to whether or not you believe that slavery was the greatest evil in American history or not that bad. You asked Thomas Taylor about his opinion about slavery, and here's what he said.
Have you read the slave narratives?
Some of them, yeah.
Why don't they use those? Why don't our opposition use those today? Because a whole lot of them, not all of them, because nothing's 100%, a whole lot of them said it wasn't so bad, and they don't want that getting out there.
I was pretty shocked. I mean, I'd heard people saying things like this on the internet, but I had a hard time believing people would tell me and Mike, my black colleague, to our faces that slavery wasn't so bad. But it happened time and time again.
Y'all also talked to an activist, Malcolm Suber, who just coincidentally used to work in West Virginia organizing African-American coal miners. He does hidden history tours of New Orleans. And what was his take on all this?
His take was that people come to New Orleans to experience the Old South. And the Old South that is presented to them is a very, very white South. There are black people involved, but they're usually servers or musicians or dancing. So he gives these sort of alternative history tours, and he basically debunks everything that you're told on the regular tours.
According to the official tours in the city, New Orleans was a great place in the 1840s, antebellum period. And that was the pinnacle of their civilization, and that was destroyed by the Civil War. That's their narrative. And so,
whose narrative?
The official tour guides in the city. That's their narrative. It's a Confederate story. It's a love affair of the Confederacy. And that's the thing that they want to glorify. They tell you about these houses were built by this architect, that architect, blah, blah, blah. But what they don't tell you is, how is it that this family had money to do that?
You all have taken this and made it into an episode of our podcast, Us and Them. And Us and Them is all about trying to understand people who believe things that are radically different than what you may believe. What did you come to understand about people like Thomas Taylor and the folks who believe so passionately in the Confederate flag and in keeping the statues of Lee and Stonewall Jackson? What did you learn about them?
There's not really dialogue happening. People say that they're sort of open to conversation, but real conversation doesn't happen. I mean, there's not really the space for it. Whenever sort of alternate sides meet, they're at hearings, and it just feels very violent, and nobody is really listening to anybody else.
Do you think just your presence, asking these questions, listening to people, what impact does that have on the folks you discuss this with?
Well, they see me and they see Mike, and they think they know where we stand, and they're usually right. So they're already sort of censoring in a way. So it's pretty hard to know how honest people are being when they're talking to me and to Mike, because they're already really sensitive to the fact that we may be critical of their perspectives.
And yet they told you amazing things, things that surprised you.
They said things that I was really shocked by, things that I would think that they would have self-censored. It makes me wonder what they say sort of in the safety of their homes to their kids.
That's Rupa Goganeni, and she is a freelance journalist and filmmaker based in Kenya, but from Charleston, West Virginia. Dr. Goganeni and Mrs. Goganeni, your daughter is doing you proud. And thank you so much, Rupa, for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you, Scott, for having me.
Make sure you listen to the latest episode of Us and Them. It's available on our website, wvpublic.org, on SoundCloud, on iTunes, and anywhere you get your podcasts.